Micah chapter number 6. Micah chapter number 6, starting at verse number 2. It says, "Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with His people, and He will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses and Aaron and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of God. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul?" Verse number 8, he said, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? To do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." If you look at this morning, we see the Lord in Micah chapter 6, and He's talking to the people, and He's saying that the Lord has a controversy. Amen. The Lord's controversy was, as He wanted to know, He said, what have I done to you, and how have I wronged you? And He says, I come to where you was when you cried unto me. I delivered you out of Egypt. I brought you through that, even through that waste, howling wilderness. I brought you into a place of safety. I redeemed you unto myself. I brought you and gave you a Moses and Aaron and Miriam to lead you through these places. I was there for you. Even when Balak, the king of Moab, consulted with Balak to come and curse the nation of Israel, I dealt with that old prophet's heart. I told him, you go down there, but you don't tell them nothing except what I tell you. Amen. Praise God. You know the Paul Harvey version. Balaam went down there, but he couldn't curse Israel. Praise God. All he could do was bless them altogether. Amen. But God asked him that question, and he says, would God be pleased with the sacrifices? Would God be pleased with the fruit of your hands? Would God be pleased with 10,000 rivers of oil? And shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He said, would I offer up their children to the fires of Moloch to pacify the gods of this world? He said, where have I let you down? And where have I wronged you? Praise God. And then, but the answer, God begins to give him the answer, praise God, in verse number 8. And I want to look at this morning, and praise God. This text ought to be preached all over the country, all over the place, in every church in the country. And I want to preach just a few minutes, if God will be my help. And I've used this in a couple places before. I couldn't get away from this as I was thinking on things this morning. You know, this might be the last time we ever gather this side of eternity. Have you ever thought about that? God speaking to our hearts today, and we need to be mindful of that. Amen. But I want to preach, if God will be my help, just a few minutes on what God requires of thee. What God requires of thee. Verse number 8, he said, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good. Amen. Praise God. God wants us to have the good things of this world. I believe that. I believe God's got a lot of good things to offer us. I got a lot of good things to give us. I got a lot of good things for us to partake in. Got a lot of good things for us to enjoy this side of eternity. But I want to say this irrequivocally. God Almighty has some great things for us on the other side. Amen. Praise God. When we get through this world and we enjoy all the good things that's here, it's not a drop in the bucket compared to what we'll have when we get on the other side. Amen. We'll be in the presence of a holy God. We'll be out of the things that's so easy to beset us, those things that'll break down and defile. I praise God to be behind us, those things that'll make us sad and make us discouraged, those things that'll give us sorrow. The tears that we shed now will be gone, praise the Lord. If there's any tears going to be shed in heaven, they'll be absolute tears of joy. Amen. There's two types of tears, sorrowful tears and there's tears of joy. Praise God, I believe if there's any tears over there, praise God, there'll be tears of joy. But we see this and say what God requires of thee. What God would require of you and what God would require of me. Now, he gives us three things. There are three simple principles here that we need to get a hold of. And I believe if we get a hold of these three simple principles, praise God, it lay it out for us. And we could just go on for the glory of God. We could shout and give him praise because we know that we'd realize that we, you, I are on God's side. Amen. I'm going to tell you, young, we're living the last days of dispensation grace. If you'll look around, we preached Wednesday night on where Luke said, as you see these things begin to come to pass, the things that we're seeing happening all around the world today. He said, you see that they began to come to pass. He said, then look up and lift up your head, for his redemption draweth nigh. He's talking about the Lord coming for the redeemed. Amen. And he said, not when these things have happened, not when they've been fulfilled, but he said, when you see them begin to come to pass, we're seeing them all around us. Amen. We're seeing things all around us, even today, praise God, that's fulfilling the scriptures, it's fulfilling the prophecies of God Almighty. Ezekiel 36, 37, 38, 39, praise God, they're being fulfilled right before our eyes today. Amen. So we need to be looking up, lifting up our heads, looking for a soon coming Savior. He said, preacher, I've heard that all my life, praise God, he's coming. Amen. Jesus is coming. One day in a little while, he's coming, praise God. And we need to be ready. We need to be expecting, praise God. I'm afraid he's going to catch a lot of folks off guard. Amen. But praise God. But there's some things that are required, what God requires of the three simple principles. Let me give you to you right quickly. But if you've got something to write on, write them down. Write them down. Number one, to do justly. Amen. To do justly. Verse number 8, he said, to do justly. He said, what doth God require of thee? To do justly. And to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. So number one, we see God says that what God requires is us to do justly. Now, what does it mean to do justly? It means to come into full conformity to the law of God. You say, well, Pastor, we're not living under the law. We're living under grace. Amen. You know, people say that all the time, but I want to ask you a question this morning. Look up here just a second. Everybody look up here. Is these Ten Commandments, are they not still binding? See, last time I looked, it doesn't say the 10 suggestions. I'll make sure. It doesn't say the 10 suggestions. It says the 10 commandments. What do they say? Does anybody know them by heart? Well, I was hoping somebody just jump up and give me all 10 of them. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen. That's from God. Amen. Should we have any other gods before God? No. It says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Amen. Praise God. No other images. We don't need nothing else to put before us to see. Amen. He said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Amen. Don't use it in vain. Praise God. Call on him when you need him. Call on him when you love him. Call on him when you talk to him. Amen. He said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I mean, we remember our holy day. Of course, we worship on Sunday. Praise God. The early church began to worship on the day of resurrection. Amen. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we began to worship. The Sabbath was set aside for the Jew. He said, honor thy father and thy mother. Amen. Hello. Well, we're getting away from that. He said, thou shalt not kill. Amen. Praise God. That's still the same today. Praise the Lord. He said, thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, thou shalt not steal. Amen. He said, thou shalt not bear false witness, and thou shalt not covenant. Amen. Praise God, you oughtn't to lust after your neighbor's stuff. Amen. So it's still binding today. So we need to come in conformity of the law. We need to come he said, to do justly. In other words, to come in conformity to the law of God, to follow in his commandments. Praise God. It was good in Moses' time. It was good in our grandparents, our great grandparents. It's good in our grandparents. It's good in the day and hour we live. Praise God. To still stay with the commandments of God. To keep his commandments. Amen. Ain't that right? So the first principle we have to do justly is to live within the commandments of God. What God tells us to do. Now it doesn't stop with just the Ten Commandments. It comes with the whole volume of the book. Amen. We need to be brought into the conformity of God's Word. Now we don't change the Word to fit the way we live. Amen. The Word should change us to be pleasing to God. to live in a righteousness with Christ Jesus. Amen. To allow Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Lord and our Savior. Amen. He gives us guidance and leadership. That's what God requires. Amen. And the amazing thing about God is He loved us so much, He put it down, praise God, what He requires so that we can fulfill that, praise God. It's talking about in Sunday school, you can take people's looking all over the place to find out something that'll get them in. Something that'll fulfill that hope they have of maybe one day going to heaven, one day being with the Lord, maybe one day taking out of this old world of sin. Amen. But praise God, I'm going to tell you what, we got it in the volume of the book. The Word of God, amen, said if we'll just do justly, amen, do what God says, listen to what God has to say to us, He said then we can have a different perspective on life and we can just go with God. Amen. So number one, He said to do justly. Number two, what does He say? To love mercy. To love mercy. Now what does it mean to love? What is love? Love is that opposes hate. Hello? Love is that opposes hate. It comes into place, praise God, it comes into the place of hatred, hatred and bitterness and all those things that goes along with that. Hatred and bitterness, praise God, will eat you up. Just like a cancer, it'll gnaw on you and eat on you. And there's no place for it in a child of God. The greatest commandment that He could give us is in the Word of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. He said, the greatest commandment, He said, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Now that's the seed of affection. Amen. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. That's that spiritual, immortal part of you. Do you realize, praise God, the soul of man never dies? Amen. The soul of man never dies. The soul of man lives forever somewhere. Now, whether your soul is going to live in heaven with the Lord or going to live in hell with the devil and the demons of hell, that's your choice. You know, Pastor, how is it my choice? Whether we receive what Jesus Christ done on the cross of Calvary for us or whether we reject it. Amen. Where we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, or we deny Him and reject Him, that's what determines whether we'll go to hell or to heaven. Amen. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy, now watch this, and with all thy, what? Might. Amen. And with all thy might. Now, what does that mean? That means that we've got to put some strength. Praise God. We've got to love Him with our strength. We've got to love Him with all the ability we have to love. Amen. He said that we're to love. Amen. To love. So He said, in other words, we've got to put forth an effort to love. How do we learn to love? Praise God. We got to go to where love is. Amen. The love is in the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. Without Him, you don't know how to love. But when we get the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord of our life, praise God, He teaches us to love one another. And then He tells us, praise God, that we should love our neighbor, love our neighbor, praise God, as He had loved us. Amen. He said to go beyond even loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. I don't know anybody that don't like it, like self. Now sometimes I ain't pleased with self. Self lets me down more than anybody I know. But praise God, the Lord Jesus doesn't. So He said that we should love with our heart and with our soul and with all thy might. So He said with the strength that we have in us, praise God, the ability that God lives through the teaching, instruction, and word, we should learn to live. Amen. We should learn to love. And through Jesus Christ our Savior. That's what He tells us to do. Amen. To love what? He said to love mercy. Now what is mercy? Amen. Mercy is benevolence. Amen. But mercy is tenderness. Mercy is compassion that we show forth to others. And it's exercised, praise God, to those. It's exercised toward offenders. Amen. It's easy to love somebody that loves you back. Now think about this. What about the Lord Jesus Christ? What about God, our Heavenly Father? Amen. He loved us ere we knew Him. He loved us, praise God, when we didn't think upon Him. He loved us when we disrespected Him. He loved us when we didn't love Him back. It takes a great big something other to love that way. Amen? But His power and His strength, because He's got all power in heaven and earth. I mean, don't belittle your Savior, praise God, because He has all the power that you need to help you, to minister to you, praise God, so that you can love one another and you can love yourself. When we start loving Jesus Christ, we start loving one another and we'll start loving ourselves. We'll start realize there's something inside us, praise God, it's moved in. It's took away all that old junk in our lives. And it's given us a peace that passes understanding through Christ our Savior. It's that benevolence that we have toward one another, praise God. Exercise toward offenders. It is, it's easy to love somebody that loves you back. But it's hard to love somebody that don't even like you. Amen. Or hard to love somebody that you don't even like. Hello? Now I'm just being honest. Hey, some people we just don't like. Hey, some people you just don't get along with. Amen? It's easy to love everybody that's just like you, thinks like you, and acts like you, talks like you, and believes like you. It's easy to love people like that, isn't it? But what about when you get people that don't believe like you, don't think like you, don't act like you? Amen? It's harder to love them. But He said that we're supposed to love mercy. In other words, we love, praise God, that's opposed to hate, and we love them, praise God, because of that God's put into our hearts. It's in our strength, and He gives us the strength and the ability, praise God, to love them because we love Jesus with all our heart. Praise God, and that benevolence, that tenderness, that compassion that we have for others comes into effect. He tells in Romans 5 and 8, He says, but God commendeth His love toward us. Now watch this. In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? Christ died for us. I'm talking about mercy. Praise God. God, through His mercy, for by grace are we saved through faith, praise God. Because of the mercy of God that He has to us, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but God, in His mercy and His grace, He loves us anyway. Amen. And we should love others because God commended His love toward us, toward me and you, but send it in our direction. Amen. That while we were yet losers, sinners, amen. While we were yet sinners, praise God, Christ died for us, amen. Praise God. That's that mercy that God showed forth to us. We didn't deserve the mercy of God. We didn't deserve the compassion of God. We didn't deserve the benevolence and the tenderness of God, but God Almighty ministered it to us through Christ our Savior. Amen. That makes Him big in my sight. Praise God. I didn't deserve that. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad He did. He commendeth His love toward us. In other words, He sent it in our direction. When we wasn't looking for it, and we surely didn't deserve it. I mean, I can't think of anybody this morning that deserves to be saved. There's nobody this morning that deserves, praise God, but God, through His love, He commended His love toward us in the direction that we were, praise God, so that we could be saved. But even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Praise His name. So we see, praise God, that we're supposed to do justly, and we're supposed to love mercy. But He also, look at principle number three. We're going through them right quickly this morning, but listen to me. Principle number three, verse number eight. He said to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. I can't get away from this verse. I can't get away from this. I've been hung up on this for weeks. Amen. I've preached in this direction several times in the last couple of weeks. He said to do justly. He said to love mercy. And He says to walk humbly. Amen. Does anybody know what it means to walk? Everybody said, preacher, everybody knows what it means to walk. We do that from a little kid. We put one foot in front of the other. You know the old song, and soon you'll be walking out the door. Amen. Everybody knows what it means to walk. But no, he says he said to walk humbly. That means to advance by steps, one step at a time. You know the Word of God teaches us in little bitty baby steps. Amen. He don't expect us to just come in here and realize that we're lost, old sinners on our way to hell, receive Lord Jesus Christ because He died on the cross for us. I rose up victorious over death and the grave, praise God, so we'll have victory over also as well, praise God, and head out of here running, praise God, going wide open for the Lord. That's okay, you can, you should, but praise God, but we don't. We got to learn, you got to learn most of the time little bitty baby steps. Amen. You know, that's where the church is letting down today. That's where the church is falling down on its face today because we're forgetting about the little bitty baby steps. I told you a while back, I've rebooted, I've dropped back, and I'm trying to take the simple principles of the Word of God and apply them to our lives so that we can begin to build our Christian walk, our faith in Lord Jesus Christ to do those things and be pleasing to the Father that Jesus did. Amen. So we see those steps. You know, the first step, praise God, to walk humbly, the first step is salvation. The first step in our little bitty baby walk is salvation. We've got to understand that we're old sinners and we're going to die lost without God. But that Jesus died for our sins, so we've got to be saved. Amen. Salvation is a prerequisite for walking. Amen. Praise God, to come humbly before Christ and confessing our sins and ask Jesus to save us by His marvelous grace. Amen? To cry out and say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me, save me, Lord, forgive me an old sinner. Amen? Forgive me a sinner. Save me by Your marvelous grace, Lord Jesus. Praise God. So we see the first part of the first step is salvation. Without salvation, it's impossible to walk with God. It's impossible to please God because without salvation, there's no faith. We've got to have faith to believe that we might receive and be saved. Amen. I'd ask you a question this morning. Praise God, do you believe on Lord Jesus Christ? A lot of folks to say, preacher, I hear it all the time. Preacher, I know who Jesus is. Amen. Yeah, the demons in hell know who He is too and tremble, but they're not saved. Amen. Praise God. But have you been saved? Have you been born again? Salvation. Amen. It's a prerequisite to the first step. And what comes with salvation? Then sanctification. That's sanctified. That's setting ourselves aside. That's saying, you know what? I'm saved. Praise God. I've been prepared. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm preparing for heaven. Amen. I'm going in a direction that the Lord would have me to go. I've set myself aside. I've committed myself to Him because He committed so much to me. The Lord has done so much for us. It's amazing what He does. It's amazing what He's done. So we see in that walk, at first few steps, praise God, we see salvation and we see the sanctification process. Amen. That's just setting ourselves aside, just saying, Lord, you know what? I know I'm an old sinner, Lord. I ask You to save me, forgive me of my sins. And Lord, I'm just going to try my best with Your help to do the things that's pleasing to You. Amen. Amen. It's putting yourself out there. It's not that difficult because He's able to do all things. The Bible tells us that. The things that we can't do because He said we can do nothing without Him. But he said, but Paul would also said, I can do all things through Christ, which what? Strengtheneth me. Amen. So with the Christ on our side and us on His side. See, that's what sanctification is. When you get saved, praise God, that's when the Lord's on your side, we know He is, but that's when we get on His side. And we begin to let Him help us and minister to us and show us where we need to be. So in that walk we have, he sees it. Four little steps, salvation, sanctification. Then we have righteousness. That's righteousness. That's that right attitude, that right walk with God. So as we begin to walk, we're going to walk in a direction that's right. A way that's pleasing to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a way that seemeth right, but there's a way that is right. I'm talking about righteousness. I'm talking about a walk that's right in the eyes of God. What God would be pleased with. Do you ever stop and think in the middle of the day, praise God, as you're going along, would God be pleased with this? Newsflash, if you're saved today, praise God, that the Lord is with you all the time. You can't sneak around behind a building. You can't sneak around behind a house. You can't go down behind a woodshed, praise God, and do what you do and think you get by with it. Amen. The Lord sees you everywhere. Let me say that again. The Lord sees you everywhere. You may say, people may say, well, preacher, I'm not saved yet, so I don't have to worry about that. The Lord still sees you. Amen. He sees everything you do. Even to the thought and intent of the heart, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, God knows about. Amen. So you're not hiding anything from God this morning. Praise God. He knows all about it. So we need to line up in the righteous Him. Salvation, sanctification, set aside for Christ in the righteousness of a holy God. Amen. And when we have the salvation, sanctification, we have the righteousness of God, then we can have the holiness of God. Amen. You say, well, preacher, that's just not, we'll never be as holy as God. Yeah, but apparently we can, because God told us, be ye holy, for I am holy. God, hey, listen, God wouldn't ask you to do something or be something He wouldn't help you to be. Amen. If we decide, He said, this is what God requires of you, and God will equip you to do those things that He requires, so that we can be found pleasing unto God. When we begin to walk right, praise God, we can walk in salvation, sanctification, in righteousness, and in true holiness before God. Amen. So that we can be holy before God. So that we can be pleasing to God. So we don't do those things that we tell little kids that break God's heart and makes Him sad. But we do those things that's pleasing to Him. It breaks Him, makes Him glad, and puts joy in the heart and the mind of God. So we see this walk, amen, these steps by steps, advancing by steps in our Christian life, praise God. And we do, He said, to walk humbly. So He said, we begin to take these steps in a spirit of humility. Amen? In a spirit of humility. Amen? We have to humble ourselves before God. And in a submissiveness to God. We have to submit ourselves to God. You know what's wrong with most of us church folks? Yeah, we're too heady and high-minded, and we won't humble ourselves. In other words, we won't submit and become submissive to God. How did Jesus do that? He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. People, church people today, God's people today, ought to submit ourselves, humble ourselves before God, and say, Lord, not your will, but mine be done. Amen. The God would go before us. He'd begin to open avenues. He'd begin to allow us to do things that we never thought we could do before. And the only thing that's hindering us today, church, the only thing that's holding us back is you. Amen. God's got all the help you need. But He said if we'd just come submissive to Him. So we see these three principles. We see to do justly, we see to love mercy, and we see to walk humbly. Walk in humbleness before God, in submissiveness before God. Look at James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. Verse number 5. He said, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? The question. But now listen to what He says. But He giveth more grace. You know God's got all the grace that you need? Amen. Does anybody know what grace is this morning? The unmerited favor of God. It's that favor from God that we don't, ain't no way you can earn. Amen? No way you can have it put on your account for later. It's that unmerited favor of God that He gives us. Amen. But He said, but He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith. Now watch this. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Amen. You want to be full of God's grace, you have to humble yourself. Humble yourself before God. Now, I'm not, you saying, preacher, you mean you got to put on sackcloth and ashes and go sit up? No. We have to submit ourselves. Talk about a submissiveness to God, a humility toward God. Get rid of our heady and high minded thinking that you're thinking that, you know, all these things that we have, that we got those. Man, those are gifts from God. Amen. He said, God resists the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Now watch it. He said, submit yourselves therefore to God. Amen. Now, I want you to notice something. This is like these up here. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Hello? Are you hearing me? Listen, young'uns today, you young people, it's a commandment that we submit ourselves to God. If you submit yourself to God at a young age, God will keep you out of a whole lot of grief. Amen? Amen. Every one of us old people that's here today can tell you, if you'll just submit yourself to the will of God today, right now, this morning, praise God, God can keep you out of a whole lot of anguish in the days ahead. Amen. He can do it. He said, if you'll submit yourselves therefore to God. And he said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. So he said, if we'll put up that resistance, we take a stand, we submit ourselves to God, and we put up a resistance against the devil. That's when things come along. God's speaking to our heart because we have submitted to him. He shows us the direction that he'd have us to go and how he wants to minister, how he wants to help us, that we can help others along the way. And God begins to show us the way that he'd have us to go. He said, just to resist the devil, take a stand. And he said, he will flee from you. Amen. Devil won't hang out long if you put up a resistance. Now, the devil's not omnipresent anyway. Who's omnipresent? The Lord. Amen. The Lord. Amen. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. The devil's not. Amen. The devil is not omnipresent. He's not everywhere all the time. But he'll come by and he'll hit you with a load. He'll dump out a load on you if you'll let him. But amen, when he comes by you, praise God, he said, you put up that resistance. You realize because you've been walking with God that this is not of the Lord, praise God, but it's of the devil. It's the demons of hell that's trying to infiltrate your mind and get into your body that he can use you as a vessel. Amen. Hey, listen, don't give the devil a place to park. Amen. If he's going to unload, let him unload while he's traveling by. Amen. Make him keep a moving by putting up that resistance. As Miss G says, praise God, when he comes along, tries to park on your shoulder and whisper stupid things in your ear. Amen. Just start to just say out loud, Jesus. Shut up. Say, Jesus, Jesus. And he's gone. He has to flee because he can't stand that lovely name of Jesus. Because Jesus, the name of Jesus, praise God, has already overcome him. Praise God through the blood of the Lord Jesus. Amen. He said, so we resist the devil and he will flee from you. He said, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. I wonder how close we want to get. How close do you want to get to the Lord today? He said, well, preacher, I'd like to be really close. I'd like to snuggle up to him. Here it is. He said, just put up a resistance. Submit yourself to God. Put up a resistance against the devil. Draw nigh to God every day. Draw close. Try to get closer to him. And he'll draw nigh to you. Amen. You say, preacher, how do I do it? By humbling yourself. Verse number 10. He said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. It didn't say he might lift you up. But he said, if we'll draw nigh to him, if we'll humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he shall lift you up. So we see the Bible teaches us here in humility. If we'll be submissive to God, if we'll submit ourselves to the Lord, amen. If we'll praise God, he said, then we'll be able to draw nigh to him, get close to him, and he'll come close to us, amen. And the closer you get, the closer he gets. The closer you get, the closer he gets. And the next thing you know, one day, praise God, you wake up and you and the Lord is just right there together. You're walking together. You're talking together. Praise God. You're singing together. You're praising together. You're eating together. You're worshiping together. Praise God. Just God's all over the place. Amen. It just gets so fabulous. But God said these are the things that's required to have that right relationship. Praise God. He said to walk humbly. How? He said with thy God. Is God your God today? Amen. Have you been saved? Have you been born again? See, it's time to get in there and start those little baby steps. If you're here today and you've never been saved, today, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today's the day, realize you're no sinner, deserving of hell. Amen. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. In other words, we'll never see His glory if we don't get right with God. He said, then there's a sanctifying process where you sanctify yourself aside for the Lord. Walking with Him, praise God, in the righteousness of God, in true holiness. That walk gets sweeter and sweeter day by day because of a submissiveness to the Lord. Because you've just submitted yourself to Him. Committed, made that commitment to God. You know what's wrong in the world today? You know how we have so many relationships that fail so often? Because we don't have a commitment. Amen? We don't like commitment. We don't like to be committed to things. But if we commit ourselves to the Lord, He'll teach us to love each other. And with true love in your heart, praise God, you can make things work. You can work through the difficult times. Amen? Without Him, it won't work. But then He said, He teaches us to walk humbly through submissiveness. Amen? He said, and we walk humbly, submissively with thy God, with your God. Amen? Just like we preached a few weeks ago on Enoch, the Bible said that men began to call upon, they hadn't called upon God. And they began to call upon God again. Amen? They begin to call upon God, and the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. Amen. Enoch walked with God. And then it said in another place, he said in verse 24, it said, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Amen. What do we got today, young praise God? What God requires of us is we just walk with Him. It worries me for people today, for our churches today, for us today. If we say that we're Christians and we believe in the Lord and we're followers of Christ, that's what Christian means, that we're followers of Christ. And we're walking in a different direction. Something's messed up. Something's messed up. I believe one day God's going to go strolling through and He's going to call out His people. Amen. And the ones that's walking with Him like Enoch was, praise God, He's going to carry them off into glory. Enoch is type of the rapture. Amen. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Amen. Enoch was walking with God, and one day the Lord just said, Enoch, son, I really enjoy your comradeship. So I enjoy being with you. I enjoy your fellowship. Amen. Praise God. He said, just come on, go home with me. Amen. Just come on, let's just go to my house tonight. Amen. And praise God, the Lord just kept walking on off into glory. And because Enoch was walking with Him, he just kept on walking with Him right on into glory. And said he was not, for God took him. Amen. Praise God. If we do what God requires of you and me, we can have that walk with God too. Amen. And He has showed the old man what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's what God requires. It's not a big requirement. I could put out pamphlets with thousands and thousands of things that you could do to get to heaven, and people be signing up, lining up at the door to get them. But God said, this is what I require. Amen. Just that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly, amen, with the Lord, with God. Praise God, one day we'll stroll right into glory, amen. Without this walk, we may not make it. We have to ask ourselves today, am I walking with God? Am I doing what God requires of me? Let me ask you a question this morning, church. Every individual in here, is there room for improvement? Is there room to draw closer? Is there room for assurance to make sure and be ready and know that we are ready? We're seeing all these things begin to come to pass. Our Redeemer liveth, and He's coming for the redeemed, for those that's born again. Are you ready to go home? Are you ready? Amen. Whether it's in the rapture or we go by the grave, we need to know that we're ready. Ain't none of us promised tomorrow. Amen. We know who holds tomorrow. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But are we ready? Are we fulfilling what God requires of you and of me. He loves us. He cares for us. And He's calling us unto Himself. Individuals. You and me.